Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio. A real pleasure to have you here. Also, an honor and a pleasure to welcome to our program COVID long haulers coach Sally Riggs. She's a psychologist and a polyvagal coach who helps COVID long haulers, that's people suffering with long COVID, understand how to navigate the different states of their nervous system and to improve the flexibility and tone. Once they can do that, long haulers can actually spend more time in a rest and digest state so their body can start the healing process and ultimately enhance physical and mental health. If you're not sure what long COVID is or what a long hauler is, we're going to explain that because there are a lot of people that are they're dealing with that right now. You know, they're testing negative for COVID, but the symptoms and the results thereof are continuing, or there's all kinds of new symptoms being triggered. We're going to explain it all, and it's really incredibly fascinating. COVID long haulers can find a new resource to learn how to turn their lives around with the help of Sally Riggs. Again, she is extraordinary at what she does, and we're going to talk about it. You know, polyvagal theory, initially put forward in 1994 by scientist Stephen Porges, focuses on cranial nerve, known as the vagus, surrounding the nervous system, and that's the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, the theory offers implementing strategies and resources to help long haulers seek a healthy connection with their nervous system in order to enable us to respond more appropriately, or anybody that's dealing with it, more appropriately to stressful situations and trauma. While she's not a physician per se, she doesn't give medical treatment, she still plays a crucial role in two ways. First, in connecting people with the doctors who have significant knowledge about long COVID. Second, in helping clients calm their nervous systems so they can reduce overwhelm and make the right next decision, which is perfect. Excited to welcome her coming to us from New York. We're excited to welcome Sally Riggs because, again, she's been a wonderful resource for so many people, and she might be one for you or somebody that you care about. Sally, welcome to the program and for part one of our exclusive two-part series together on the show. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited to talk about this, as you mentioned, such a big topic.
Yes, it really is, and not everybody is aware of this as well. I don't think it's something that is completely talked about in the media or in the news. You hear it bits and pieces, but I don't think most people realize that it exists.
Right.
From your definition, what are COVID long haulers?
So COVID long haulers are the people who have long COVID. And the term long hauler was coined by a fellow long hauler, Amy Watson, back in April 2020, when she set up one of the first Facebook groups, support groups, for people with long COVID. And kind of, I think she lives out west, and so she sees the truck that are also referred to as long haulers, and she figured, you know, we're similarly in it for the long haul with less positive connotations, and hence the name kind of came about. And at the time, there was very little medical definition or treatment, and so we didn't have an official medical term for what we were experiencing. And so long haulers was kind of a way to describe that. And then the term long COVID, which is actually the illness, came about in Europe a little bit later that year, and was actually taken on in Europe as the official medical term, although in the U.S. the official medical term is post-acute sequelae of COVID, or PASC, as they shorten it to, but pretty much nobody uses that term. They're also pretty much just calling it long COVID here too.
Yeah, that's really amazing when you think about it. You know, you have this incredible background, you know, in psychology, and you're really incredible at what you do. How did this, what inspired you to be a long COVID coach?
Yeah, great question. So I got sick with COVID myself in March 2020, and about a week before the official rest-in-place order here in New York City, and it was fairly mild, which was fortunate because at that time people were getting very sick and dying. Obviously, we didn't have any vaccines and very little treatment, but it still felt like the worst flu that I've ever had. And within a few weeks, I was supposedly recovered, but I still didn't really feel right. I was very fatigued. Then I started getting the shortness of breath. Then I started getting chest pain. I'm a runner, and when I would go out to run, the chest pain would get worse. And as that year went on, I got sicker and sicker and sicker. By September, I wasn't able to run anymore because of the acute chest pain. By 2021, I was barely getting out of bed. And one of the things that happens when you're really sick with long COVID is you lose purpose. You feel very low, very hopeless, very helpless, and you aren't really sure what your existence is for. And being a psychologist, I've actually known that I wanted to be a psychologist since I was a teenager, and I'm pretty good at being a psychologist. And yet during the pandemic, all of us psychologists worked incredibly hard and got incredibly burnt out. And plus, I was also very sick at the time. And I found myself thinking sort of halfway through last year, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'd never had that thought in my lifetime. It was a little bit sort of disconcerting. But as I came across these polyvagal techniques that you mentioned a little bit later last year and started to be able to recover, and I started noticing compassion and joy and my curiosity about my sense of purpose started to come back, I was doing some of those there's a Japanese principle called Ikigai, which is about finding your purpose. And there are four sectors that they look at: what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. And I had lived in Japan a long time ago. And so as I was starting to explore my purpose, this really resonated with me. And lots of things came up. I found myself remembering things that I had wanted to do as a teenager, like be a dance critic, which is definitely not something that I have the aptitude for now. But in December 2021, it became clear to me that this is the work that I'm meant to be doing, working with other long haulers, bringing my psychology expertise, but as coaching, which makes it much more accessible internationally, and then using these polyvagal techniques and everything that I've learned about what actually is long COVID and what treatments we should be getting so that I can help people begin to build back the dream lives that they want to.
You know, I think it's extraordinary work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And the fact that you took this on, I mean, you've already got this extraordinary background, you know, doing what you do, and I think adding this in, pivoting and being so responsive to what's going on in our community, in our society, is a beautiful thing that you're doing. I mean, your plate is already full. I'm sure you've always had busy appointments and all, but adding this in because you really care about people and their healing on many different levels, mind, body, spirit, I think is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Tell us about do you pronounce it polyvagal theory?
Yes.
Good. Tell us about that, and how does it apply to your work?
Absolutely. So polyvagal theory is the theory of our autonomic nervous system. And most of us have taught about autonomic nervous system in high school, and then we never really discuss it again, even psychologists, even physicians. And most of us are taught in high school that it has two systems, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Sympathetic is your fight or flight, and the parasympathetic is your rest and digest, and that they're supposed to work sort of next to each other in equilibrium. It turns out, and I really only discovered this as through my own recovery journey, that actually there's a scientist called Stephen Porges at the University of Indiana who has been researching this since the late 60s. And it's actually more like three systems in a vertical hierarchy. So you've got rest and digest at the top, or ventral vagal, as Dr. Porges calls it, which is where we all want to spend as much of our time as possible. We try to, at least. This is where our bodies are relatively relaxed. We're able to be curious and interested, have gratitude, self-compassion, acceptance, etc. Then the next level down, we have fight or flight, which is sympathetic nervous system. And when something happens that piques our interest, either good or bad, our bodies release chemicals, adrenaline and cortisol. The blood rushes to our organs so that we can be hypervigilant, focused, and able to mobilize whatever systems we need quickly for that fight or flight state. And if it's a good thing that's exciting, then it helps us really be on our game. Like, for example, talking on a radio show, we need to be focused. We both probably have a little bit of fight or flight so that we can be on our game and delivering the best that we can. But also within that state, we can also experience things like anxiety, panic, fear, nightmares, and insomnia. And then there's also this third level called immobilization or dorsal vagal. And it's a very primitive system that's been part of mammals way back when we were reptiles, before we became humans. And this third level is just about shutting the body down when there's danger. So if you go into fight or flight for an extended period of time, let's say this radio show went on for days and days and days, our bodies aren't supposed to be in fight or flight for that extended period of time. And those chemicals and those changes in the body would start to do some significant damage. And so this third state of immobilization comes along that ultimately pulls the ripcord and the body goes into shutdown. And this is very relevant for long COVID. First and foremost, and it's really important that I say this, especially because I'm a psychologist, long COVID is a biological illness. It's definitely not psychosomatic. And it's looking like, from the most current cutting-edge research, that what happens is the COVID spike protein binds to the endothelium when it enters the body, which is the lining cells of the blood vessels, and causes significant damage. And one of the key functions of the endothelium is to stop clotting. So once the endothelium is damaged, you get microclots in the blood. And these are teeny, 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 tiny. So they don't show up on any of the regular medical tests that we have, including something called a D-dimer, which is done quite regularly to look for blood clots. But it does do significant damage in our bodies. And the damage is so widespread that the body's ability to maintain normal clotting fails, and you get these microclots all over the body. And this leads to damage with oxygen transfer on a cellular level. All cells need oxygen to gain energy in the body. This happens through the mitochondria. But if the microclots prevent the oxygen, then every cell in the body isn't getting enough. And hence, we have this awful chronic fatigue and awful things are happening throughout the body, every system of our major organs. And evidence is showing that this is more than likely what is happening in long COVID. Mm-hmm. So how is the nervous system relevant to this? Well, a couple of ways. The nervous system mediates many, many, many biological processes in the body. And if it isn't functioning properly or it can't function properly because of other things happening in the body, processes get interrupted. For example, inflammation. The vagus nerve, which is the main pathway of the autonomic nervous system, we know that stimulation of the vagus nerve causes immediate reduction in inflammation. And in fact, I only found this out recently, they have been using it in acute COVID to accelerate the healing process. But if the vagus nerve is impaired or compromised, then it won't be able to do that job of bringing down inflammation. And it's also the nerve pathway that controls signals for blood pressure, heart rate, dizziness, nausea, many, many of these symptoms that we experience in long COVID that are referred to as dysautonomia, i.e. dysfunction of the autonomic nervous system. And so if this nerve is compromised, all of these symptoms go up and we get racing heart, shortness of breath, dizziness, nausea, all of those things. Another way of looking at this is that the nervous system is the place in our body that is most affected biologically by trauma. Our bodies, on receiving this new virus that no human had experienced before, are also experiencing considerable trauma because it's so new and so different. And if it turns out that that spike protein endothelium microclot process is happening, that's also a pretty traumatic one. So the body pushes the autonomic nervous system into fight or flight, which is a normal trauma response and functional, because when we're faced with trauma, we need to be hypervigilant and focused and paying attention and all those things that happen in that sympathetic state. But then it gets stuck there. And ultimately, because that isn't sustainable, it goes into shutdown, that immobilization ripcord piece. And that's where we get all the systems starting to fail and that horrible chronic fatigue that happens. And something that we're also seeing, which is also really relevant to my coaching work, is that many, many people who get long COVID seem to have pre-existing trauma. And so that means that their autonomic nervous system was already compromised, and they probably already spent more time than would be regular in fight or flight or shutdown, and very little time in rest or digest. And so when COVID hit their bodies, they even more quickly exacerbated that process. So the idea with this polyvagal stuff is that we're not disputing the medical organic biological cause of long COVID, but that for the body to be able to heal for all the reasons that I have just listed, we need to get back into rest and digest more frequently. And we need some additional support to be able to do that, hence these polyvagal interventions that I use with my clients. And even if we're getting medical treatment, and as we know at this point, many doctors also aren't quite up to speed on long COVID, so lots of people are getting long COVID symptoms and aren't getting any treatment. But even if they are, they still need to be in rest and digest more often for those treatments to be able to do their thing throughout the body. And fascinatingly, Jim, this is not a new theory. Obviously, I've only just discovered it with my own recovery journey, but this has been around for a long time. We see this in cancer. We see it in other chronic illness, that people are using the autonomic nervous system and polyvagal interventions to help support the vagus nerve, improve tone, improve flexibility, which are crucial to that recovery process.
It's extraordinary. It really, really is.
Yeah.
Obviously, your work as a coach inspired by the pandemic and the way that you coach your clients regarding long COVID is, I mean, you've just pretty much laid that out for us in an extraordinary
yeah.
way. How does it, if somebody is, they're not even sure if they have it, they're not sure what's happening, what these symptoms are, that
yeah.
type of thing, how do you work with them in the beginning? What's the very first step, the first process when you're having your session with your client?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I do with very, very early long COVID, and these days some people are hearing about long COVID earlier, so even less than 6 months post-acute infection, they might be thinking, wait a second, I haven't really recovered here, could this be long COVID? If they're not getting that validation from medical professionals, which in some parts of the country people still are not, or if they don't have access to the right doctors that know about it, even if they're in somewhere like New York, that we have fabulous doctors, obviously not everybody always has access to the same doctors. So the first thing I'm going to do is kind of really go through what their symptoms are. We don't have any medical tests that are diagnostic for long COVID at this point. There's not a blood test that you can take or some kind of scan that you can take. But in a way, from my perspective, that's actually a good thing because it makes us go back to good old clinical diagnosis. And it also means that you don't necessarily have to be a physician to make the diagnosis. And there were some guidelines released in the UK that just gave a list of, if you have a patient who has any one of these symptoms, I would suspect they probably have long COVID. The symptoms on that list are pretty obvious: breathlessness, chest pain, palpitations, abdominal pain or diarrhea, fatigue, brain fog, cognitive impairment, and a few other kind of allergy-related things that people might have just dismissed as allergies, like rash or hives or stiff joints or unexplained high temperature. So if somebody is experiencing something there, the chances are they probably do have long COVID. And so what I'm doing is just validating and then helping them get to a good physician who understands long COVID and can begin to do the tests and get them onto the right protocols.
It's great for people to realize that. How has social media helped you with your coaching as well?
So social media has, I mean, it's so fascinating. I pre-COVID was definitely someone who would never have turned to the internet even to look up symptoms of a disease. And yet, because we didn't really have terribly much support in the early days from medicine, it became the disease of Facebook. I think it was Diana Berendt out on Long Island who came up with the first Facebook group for COVID survivors called Survivor Corps, and that was where I first discovered that there was such a thing as a post-viral syndrome and that I wasn't crazy and that my primary care physician who told me it was just anxiety was wrong. And then I found another Facebook group called Long Haul COVID Fighters, and that's where I found the folks at Mount Sinai who were doing great work with long COVID, and I was able to get a diagnosis at that point. Now there are hundreds of Facebook groups for people with long COVID of varying qualities, but some that I have found to be very helpful to me in very specific niches. There's one for psychologists with long COVID. There's one for endurance athletes with long COVID. And so with that in mind, as I've been growing my coaching business, I've also launched a Facebook group, which we actually launched last week, called Mind Body Techniques for Long COVID Recovery with Sally Riggs. And it's constructed to be very much a safe space for people that are endorsing mind, body, and polyvagal techniques in their recovery to connect, share ideas, ask questions, and really just to support, you know, build a network, because many, many people with long COVID have lost friends, have lost support networks, partly because people didn't believe them and partly because people weren't able to understand how this illness works.
And that, again, is something that you're able to really spend time with them on and to have them really understand it. What kind of interventions are needed to really help with the long COVID? Are there specific things where it's of an urgent nature and there's a real intervention?
Yeah, I mean, the work that I'm doing primarily is polyvagal interventions, which is about helping the person to be able to safely move up that polyvagal ladder, as we call it. So most people with long COVID are just bouncing between fight or flight or shutdown. And when they want to get more to rest and digest, because it is that hierarchy, they have to go through fight or flight. And that's not a fun place to be either. And anybody with any type of trauma history, when their bodies get to fight or flight, it automatically just pulls the safety cord and says, oh, hell no, kind of thing, and pulls them back into immobilization. So we really need to gently support people to be able to move through that state using specific techniques that are giving them cues for safety, that are supporting their nervous system, that are helping them ground themselves. We also use a particular intervention that Stephen Porges invented called the Safe and Sound Protocol, which is music that is very special, been frequency manipulated so that only the middle frequency remains. And it's the same frequency as human speech that communicates safety to the nervous system. And it engages the middle ear muscles that connect into our vagal nerve system through the brainstem. And through listening to this intervention, we can actually make positive changes in the nervous system, which can help get into rest and digest. And this, interestingly, was what I came across that was really the beginning of my recovery. I used this intervention in September of last year, and that was really the beginning of me being finally able to get into rest and digest and to be able to recover. And this intervention is copyrighted. It's not just something you can look up on YouTube. And it's only available through practitioners who are certified and have a subscription. But even more importantly, because long haulers are very sensitive in their nervous system, it's really important that it's delivered by a practitioner who is able to be anchored in rest and digest themselves and provide that lovely supportive atmosphere as they go through the intervention to keep their nervous system safe.
I want to let the audience know that this is part one of an exclusive two-part series that we're doing with Sally Riggs. We encourage you to go to her website, sallyriggs.com. That's SallyRiggs.com. Sally, just a few seconds left here. A real pleasure chatting with you. It's extraordinary, again, what you're doing, and I applaud you.
Thank you.
We look forward to part two and exploring some more and hearing more about this extraordinary work. That's coming up on December 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern, so we look forward to that. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you, Sally.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You take care and keep up the extraordinary work. And Sally, again, will be back coming up on the 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another fascinating guest for you as well. Till then, for all of us, thanks for being with us. Have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.